Amen. It's great again to see you. We are in James chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, where James says, "In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." James uses a lady named Rahab that we read about in the Old Testament as an example of someone who had a saving faith. And last week, I said, let's take a moment and let's go back and let's look at Rahab's story. And some of you maybe were familiar with it, but not all of you. And it's a great picture for us of salvation. It's a great picture for us of someone who, even back in the Old Testament, had a faith that brought about a salvation that James is discussing and that James is referring to in his New Testament book. And so we look back at Rahab's story in Joshua chapter 2 and in Joshua chapter 6, and what we saw was a very vivid illustration of salvation, of a woman who had a saving faith that brought about a salvation that is the same salvation that we have today, the same kind of salvation that God has provided for us through Christ. And so to catch us up to speed, let's take just a moment this morning to review what we saw last week. I know some of you maybe weren't here. Some of you have slept since then and totally forgot that we even started looking at Rahab. And so let's just kind of bring you up to speed real quickly. And if you like to take notes, that's how your outline starts this morning, a review from part one of last week. And the first thing we said about Rahab was that Rahab was a sinner who was in need of salvation. She was just like the rest of us. She was a sinner who needed to be saved. And Joshua chapter 2 verse 1 confirms for us what James chapter 2 verse 25 tells us, and that Rahab was a prostitute, or she was a harlot. Joshua 2:1 says, "Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly, telling them, 'Go, view the land, especially Jericho.' And so they went and they came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there." Rahab was a woman who had a lot of misgivings in her life. She had a lot of moral downfalls, a lot of moral misgivings. And she's a reminder to us that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. All of us have sinned. All of us, like Rahab, have fallen short of God's glory. All of the men that Rahab slept with, all of her sin, all of her stains, all of her moral failures shows us that she was not worthy of going to heaven. And that is where we all are, just like Rahab. None of us are worthy of going to heaven. And that's the good news, is because heaven is filled with unworthy people. Amen? There is not a person in heaven today who is there because they are worthy of being there other than God himself. God is the only one worthy of being in heaven. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, "I am not worthy of ever going to heaven," then you are absolutely 100% correct. You are not worthy of going to heaven, and neither am I. And that's what makes this story so great, is because ultimately it's not a story about someone who is worthy of going to heaven. It's a story about someone who is unworthy of going to heaven. It's about a woman who was in need of God's saving grace. And that's exactly what we have. And Rahab was a woman who received God's grace. And she was a woman who stood to be condemned for her sin. She stood to be judged as guilty, and rightly so, for her sin. And so the second thing we noted about Rahab from last week is that sin is sure to bring God's judgment and eternal destruction. And it is. Rahab realized that she was a person living amongst a people who were about to come under the judgment of God. All sin, and therefore all sinners, stand to be judged guilty and condemned by a holy and a righteous God. And that's exactly what was going to happen to Rahab and all the people that she lived amongst there in the city of Jericho. And if you go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 21, it says that they, the Israelites, went in and they utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. And that's because they were coming under the judgment of God. And Jericho is a vivid illustration of judgment and destruction that is coming upon all sinners who are living outside of a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ. The good news, however, is that God is not only a holy God who is going to bring judgment against sin, but He is a loving God who is full of grace and mercy. And that is the story of Rahab. This is a picture of salvation that we see happening with Rahab, because though she was a sinner who stood to be condemned and judged by God, she was a woman who experienced God's amazing grace. And that's number three there under your review. Rahab experienced God's amazing grace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is that which is given to us freely by God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's purely an act of His will. It's an act of His love. And God demonstrated His grace to Rahab by sending these two messengers to her home. And we said last week, this was not a coincidence. They just didn't randomly, by happen chance, show up at Rahab's home. They were sent there by God, by the sovereign hand of God, to bring a message of salvation to a woman who needed to hear it, to a woman who actually longed to hear it. Salvation is always a result of God's grace. It's always a result of God's amazing grace. It was then, and it is today. Nothing has changed. Ephesians 2:8. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. God acts first on our behalf, making salvation possible. That's what He did with Rahab. He acted first. He sent these spies to her to bring her the message, the plan for her salvation. The same is true of us. God has acted first on our behalf by sending Christ, by having Christ pay the penalty for our sin, by defeating death and rising again and living to reign forevermore as Lord and God and Savior. Christ has acted on our behalf first. God has acted by calling us into this salvation that He has offered to us. And this is exactly what Rahab did. She responded to God's grace. She just simply responded to God's grace by placing her faith in Him, just like we do today. Rahab was saved through her faith in God. No different than how we are saved today. I told you last week that her faith began with what she heard about God. It began probably when she was just a child. Just a child growing up, she began to hear about the people of God, about all that God was doing, about how He had parted the Red Sea, how He had led them out of Egypt and led them through this Red Sea and into their land, and how they had began destroying the enemies around them. And she had heard time and time again about what God was doing through His people. And what she heard led her to believe in God and to fear His judgment. What she heard led her to a place to believe in God and to begin to fear His judgment. Upon hearing about God, she had a choice to make. She could choose to believe and make a decision to follow God and align her life under His purposes and under His authority, or she could choose to ignore God, dismiss God, choose to continue to do her own thing and lean on her own understanding. She chose to put her faith and her trust in God. And we know this because in Joshua 2:11, she makes a confession of faith. She confessed her faith in God. She tells the spies, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath." And it was her confession of faith that led to her salvation. And the same is true of you and I today. This is why Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And just as Rahab's confession of faith led her to salvation, the same is true of you and I today. It's when we confess our faith and our trust in Christ, repent of our sin, and turn to him that we come to this place of salvation that God has given to us. And I said last week, and I want to reiterate this again this morning, it's important that we do not misplace our faith. It's important that we do not put our faith more in the confession than we do in Jesus. And I think a lot of people over the ages have made that very mistake, is that they've put their faith in a confession rather than putting their faith in Christ. It is not the confession that saves you. It is faith in Christ that saves you. Anyone can make a confession. It's only when the confession is a genuine expression of your faith in Christ that the confession will lead to salvation. Does that make sense? Are you with me? I think a lot of people, they've put their faith in a confession or in a walking an aisle or in a signing of a card or in something, rather than saying, all of that is well and good as long as that was an expression of my faith that I have in Jesus Christ. Expression of a faith that brought me to that place to make that decision. Make sure that your faith is in Christ and in Christ alone. And one of the ways that you know that your faith is really in Jesus and that your faith has led you to truly experience the salvation that God has offered to us in Christ and that the Holy Spirit brings about in us is life change. What is happening in your life as a result of your faith? How is your life different? How has your life changed? How has the Holy Spirit of God taken up residence in your life and made you different? Made you what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation. There is going to be proof. There's going to be evidence of a life that has truly put his or her faith in Jesus Christ, where a salvation has come about. And that's exactly what we see in Rahab. Her faith was demonstrated by her actions. And so picking up right where we left off last week, Roman numeral 2 there on your outline, a picture of salvation continued, was, yes, Rahab put her faith in God. She had a confession of faith in God. But we know that her faith was genuine, and why James uses her as an example in his book of a saving faith is because Rahab's faith was demonstrated by her actions, or as James says, by her works. This is why James, again, points out in verse 25 of chapter 2 in his book, was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? She was justified in her works, in the sense that her works were bearing witness of her faith. And this is how James is using the word justify. He is saying that her works were the fruit of her faith. Her works is not what saved her. Her faith is what saved her. Her works were simply the demonstration of her faith. The demonstration that her faith was real. The demonstration that her faith was genuine. And so she demonstrated her faith when, A, she hid and she protected God's people. That was a demonstration that her faith was genuine. When, by God's amazing grace, he sent these two messengers to her house and they delivered to her a message of salvation, she hid and she protected them from harm. It was an expression that I want to be identified with the people of God, that I don't want to be identified anymore with those who are outside of the family of God. I want to be identified with those who are in the family of God. And so if you go back to the book of Joshua and you look at chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, here's what we read. It says, "It was told the king of Jericho, 'Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. "I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Now, do not. That'd be do not. Maybe I'm hungry and I'm thinking of donuts. I don't know. Do not get caught up too much in the fact that Rahab lied here. A lot of people get all caught up. Well, how could this be a genuine expression of faith, a genuine act of obedience, when she lied? Because God tells us not to lie, and that's very clear in His Word. It's very clear in His commandments that He does not want us to lie, that He wants us to tell the truth. And so don't get too caught up in the fact that Rahab lied. A lot of people get caught up in this fact, and that she lied, and her lying can be considered a demonstration, or how can her lying be considered a demonstration of her faith? Her lying is not the point. It's not what is commended in Scripture. Never is her lying commended in Scripture. Never is she commended for lying. What she is commended for, and the point of everything that we read here, and throughout the other parts of Scripture that point to Rahab, is that her fear of God and her walk of faith led her to protect the Israelites. It led her to oppose the effects of evil. What she is commended for is her faith that protected the people of God from harm. And she again was making the decision to say, "I want to protect these men of God because I want to be identified with them. I do not want to be identified any longer with the people outside of the family of God." And another demonstration of her faith was in B there on your outline, how she obeyed the message of salvation by tying this scarlet cord in her window. If you go to Joshua chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, she is told by these two messengers, "We will be free from this oath to which you have made us swear." And the oath is, we will protect you, that you will not come under judgment. They said, "We will be free from this oath to which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and you gather to yourself and unto you the house of your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household." And then skipping down to verse 21 here in Joshua 2, it says, "According to your works, so be it," she says. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. The messengers told her, "Tie this scarlet cord in your window, and when it comes time for judgment to fall, you will be spared." She obeyed the message of salvation, the instructions about salvation, immediately, and she ties the scarlet cord outside of her window. She didn't hesitate. She didn't wait. She didn't go, "Well, I'll get around to it at some point. I'll get to it when I have an opportunity." There's no need to hurry. That wasn't her mentality. Her mentality was, "I need to do this right now. I need to do this immediately." Because a faith that is genuine, a faith that is real, is going to act right now. It's going to act immediately, especially where our salvation is concerned. A faith that is genuine is not going to wait around. It's not going to second guess whether or not this is going to happen, this judgment is going to happen, or this salvation is real or genuine. It's going to act now. Do you realize that she had no idea when The attack on the city was going to happen. The spies didn't tell her, hey, the attack is going to happen on this day during this hour. Because they didn't know. They had no idea. Neither did she. She had no idea when it was going to happen. And so she acted immediately. You fast forward to the New Testament, and the exact same message is given to us. You do not know the day nor the hour when judgment is coming. We are not guaranteed another second on this planet. We have no idea when judgment is coming. And so if your faith in Jesus is real, the message is act now. Because you do not know when judgment is coming. And if you believe that it is coming, if you believe that it is imminent, then why put it off? In faith, act now. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, today, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not, oh, I've got a whole lot of time. I'll get around to this whole faith thing. I'll get around to this whole Jesus thing. Here's the truth and the reality. A faith that is real is going to be a faith that says, I'm going to act now because I believe this to be absolutely, positively true about who God is, about a judgment that's coming, and about a salvation that He is offering. By the way, do you think it was a coincidence that the cord was scarlet, that it was red in color? No way. Not a coincidence. That scarlet cord represented the sacrifice of blood and was ultimately the sign of blood that Jesus would shed and bring as a result of His sacrifice, the salvation that would come through Him. I told you this last week. Rahab's was a faith that looked forward. She looked forward to what God had promised through Abraham when God said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. Hers is a faith that looked forward. Ours is a faith that looks back. But it's a faith nonetheless in Jesus and all that He's accomplished for us with His death and His resurrection. And this scarlet cord was ultimately a picture of a salvation that was going to come to her by the very blood of Jesus. It is only the blood of Jesus that satisfies the wrath and the judgment of God. It's only our full faith in the person and work of Jesus that will bring us a salvation and bring us a deliverance. And she demonstrated her faith by acting immediately in obedience to what she had been told to do. And then a third demonstration of her faith was in how she reached out to others and shared the plan of salvation. She didn't keep her faith to herself. She didn't keep the plan of salvation to herself. She shared it. And we know that she shared it because in Joshua chapter 6, verse 23, we read, so the young men who were spies went out and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had. And they brought out all of her relatives and they placed them outside of the camp of Israel. The sharing of her faith was a demonstration that she absolutely believed in God. She shared her faith. She shared the plan of salvation. She said and told her family and her relatives and others who would listen, if you want to be delivered, then here's how the deliverance will happen. Because she believed it. She believed in God. And the same is true of us today. If we truly believe in Christ and in the coming judgment that awaits all who are outside of a saving faith relationship with Christ, then we're going to share it. We've been commissioned by Christ to be the bearer of the greatest news in all the world, the salvation that has come to us in Christ. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Christ says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I am with you always to to the very end of the age. We've been commissioned to tell anyone that if they will turn from their sin and trust in Christ, they will be saved from God's judgment and will be with Him forever. And because of her faith, that is exactly what Rahab did. She demonstrated that she believed it, that she believed in God and she believed in His coming judgment because she shared it. It was a demonstration of her faith. Another thing that we see in this picture of Rahab as a picture of salvation is number 6 there in your outline. Rahab's salvation was marked with a sign. It was a scarlet cord, but it was a sign that guaranteed her salvation. The scarlet cord hanging from her window served as a sure sign or a sure mark in her life, guaranteeing her salvation. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, Rahab says this to the messengers. She says, "Please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with me or with my father's household, and you will give me a pledge of truth." So what she's saying is, I need you to give me a sign. I need you to give me a sure sign of deliverance, a sure sign that I will be spared with this coming judgment. And the sign was the scarlet cord that we read a moment ago out of verses 17 and 18 there in Joshua 2. And just as the scarlet cord marked Rahab's salvation as being sure, as being certain, as being a guarantee, Scripture tells us that we too have a guarantee. And I tell you, we have a guarantee that is much greater than a scarlet cord. We have a guarantee of God Himself. We have a guarantee of the Holy Spirit. We have a guarantee that Scripture says when we put our faith in Christ, we don't have to doubt, we don't have to question, we don't have to wonder about this salvation. It is guaranteed for us. It is a sign or a pledge that this is going to happen, and the pledge is the Holy Spirit Himself. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. It says, "In Him, in Christ, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." You were sealed. In other words, you were guaranteed. This salvation that has come to you has now been sealed. It's permanent. It's a done deal. And the sign of that seal is the Holy Spirit Himself. Verse 14 out of Ephesians 1 says, "The Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory." When it comes to our salvation, God does not leave us in doubt. God does not leave us questioning. He doesn't leave us wondering. He doesn't leave us unsure. He doesn't leave us guessing every day. If something happens to me today, am I going to heaven or am I not? We don't have to walk around every day in this cloud of uncertainty or in this fog of uncertainness. We can walk with an absolute security, with a guarantee, knowing without question, without doubt, if my life were to end today, if judgment were to fall today, I will be spared. I will not come under judgment. This truth is given to us time and time again throughout Scripture. I did not reference these on your outline, but I have them on your screen if you just want to jot them down there on your note somewhere. But this is what Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish." If you have your Bible open to this passage, underline that. Jesus says, I give eternal life to them. And once you have been given eternal life, then here is the guarantee. Here's the promise. You will never perish. Never. Never means never. It won't happen. You will never perish. You have been given life, and that life is guaranteed to you. And here's how Jesus words it. He says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Once you are placed in the hand of Jesus through faith, and you are joined to Jesus Christ through faith, you are in his hand, and there is nothing that will ever snatch you out of his hand. Nothing you can do, nothing I can do, nothing the enemy can do. You are safe and secure in the hand of the God of the universe. Jesus goes on to say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. In other words, there is no power, there is no being on earth greater than God. And Jesus says, no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, is that good news? Absolutely, it is good news. Because if I thought that I had to secure my salvation based on who I am, based on what I do, based on what I'm about, then I am dead in the water. Every day would be filled with doubt. Every day would be filled with anxiety. Every day would be filled with fear. But my salvation is not based on me and my strength and what I can do. My salvation is based on God and who He is, and Jesus and His strength and His power and what He's done. Paul says it this way, 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Notice who's guarding it. God himself is guarding the salvation. Not man, not me, not anyone other than God. God is guarding it. That's why Jesus says no one is greater than God. No one's going to be able to snatch us out of his hand. In Philippians 1:6, Paul says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. In Christ, our salvation is secure. Just like Rahab's salvation was secured with that scarlet cord, that was a sign, that was a guarantee. Judgment will not befall you. So the same is true of us who are in Jesus Christ. And as a result of her salvation, number 7 there on your outline, Rahab was spared. She was spared on the day of judgment. The judgment did come. Joshua 6:22-24, we read, Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all that she has out of there, just as you've sworn to her. And so they did, and they brought her out and her family. And then verse 24 says, they burned the city with fire and all that was in it. Rahab was not in it. She was spared because of her faith and because of the salvation that came to her as a result of her faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, we read, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. She didn't, because she had a faith that brought about a salvation that brought her out from under judgment. True salvation will always bring deliverance and move us out from under God's judgment, God's wrath, and into his presence, into his grace, his mercy, his protection, his love. In John, the gospel, chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says it this way, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and he does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. That's exactly what happened with Rahab. Romans 5:9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, through Christ. And then Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the last thing that we see in this picture of salvation from Rahab is that Rahab's salvation resulted in a radical change in her life, or in radical changes to her life. You cannot be joined to God in faith. You cannot be made new and stay the same. There will be life-altering changes that the Holy Spirit of God brings about in those who truly belong to Him. And this is certainly true of Rahab. Rather than being identified, continuing to be identified with those outside of the family of God, she was joined with the people of God. She was joined to the family of God. Again, in Joshua 6, verse 25, it says that Rahab was placed outside of the city, and Joshua spared her, and she has lived in the midst of Israel to this very day. Because she now had a new identity. And the identity that she had was, I am no longer a people outside of God's possession. I am now amongst the people who live as God's possession, or who are a part of His family, who are a part of His people. And it was a radical change. Today, the same is true. We who are in Christ, that is why the church exists. That is why we gather as a part of a body of believers, because we say we do not want to be identified with those who are outside of the family of God. We want to be identified with those who are a part of the family of God. Those who are following the truth of God's word. Those who are living our lives in submission to the authority and the truth of who God is. And another significant life change that we see in Rahab is that she did not continue in her life of harlotry. She got married and was brought into the family of her Redeemer. She did not continue to live a life of sin. She did not continue to live a life of prostitution. She said, I do not want that anymore. And that's the sign of a genuine believer. Not that we're going to be perfect, but the desire of our heart is to say, I do not want to continue to live in rebellion to God. I do not want to continue to live outside of His will. I don't want to continue to live against the truth of His word and the truth of who He wants me to be. I want to live in submission to His truth. And I want the Holy Spirit in me to begin to bring changes to my life that helps identify me as a child of God, as a person who belongs to Him. And that was true of Rahab. So she said, I am walking away from this life of prostitution, from this life of harlotry. And she gets married to a godly man, to a man who is in the family of God. And she says, I want to be identified with the family of God, and I want to be married to someone in the family of God, and I want to raise children who are identified as a family of God, because she underwent life-changing alterations. As a matter of fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we are given the lineage of Christ, the earthly lineage. And it says this, it says, Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. So Rahab marries this man named Salmon, and they are joined together through the bond of marriage, and they have a child, and that child's name is Boaz. Boaz is a godly man, and Boaz marries Ruth, and Ruth and Boaz have a child named Obed. And Obed grows up, and he's married, and he has a child named Jesse. And Jesse fathers a child named David, as in King David, as in it is from the line of David that Christ comes to be our King forever and ever. What an incredible picture of God's grace and the salvation that comes to someone who is willing to put her faith in a God who said, here is salvation. You can either submit and follow me and surrender to me, or you can ignore me, dismiss me, and walk away from me. And she said, I will follow you. It's a beautiful, amazing picture of salvation. So let me just close with these three important realities about salvation that James gives us here in James chapter 2. And we're closing out James chapter 2. And in 2 weeks, we'll pick up James 3. I actually won't be here next week because I'll be at camp with our students in Glorieta. But we will pick up in 2 weeks with James 3. But let me just close out James 2 with these important realities about salvation that I hope that you get. Number one is this: Christ is the basis of salvation. Christ and Christ alone is the basis of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin, that is Jesus, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How do we become righteous? How do we become justified? How do we become right with God? Only in Christ. He is the basis of our salvation. Number two, faith is the means of salvation. Christ is the basis, faith is the means. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through faith in Christ do we receive this salvation. That's James's point. That's the message of truth throughout Scripture. And number three, works are the evidence of salvation. That's why James says in verse 26 of chapter 2, the very last verse of James 2, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Works are the evidence of salvation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the gift of salvation. What a blessing it is to read of Rahab and the salvation that you gave her so many thousands of years ago. And the same faith that brought her salvation is the same faith that brings our salvation. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for paying the penalty for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for defeating death and rising again. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. And my prayer this morning is that if there's anyone here who is yet to experience the saving grace, the salvation of Jesus Christ, then today would be the day. Today would be the day of salvation. And Father, for those of us who have experienced it, I pray that we would live out our faith, that our works, that our actions would be the demonstration that we have been made new, that we are different. The way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we talk, the way that we conduct ourselves day in and day out points to the new creation that you have made us through faith in Jesus Christ. And may it all be for your glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.